This is the Relic Radio Show, old-time radio entertainment still standing the test of time, from RelicRadio.com. This is the Relic Radio Show. Welcome back, everyone. Thanks for joining me this Tuesday for another hour or so of old-time radio. We're going to start things off with a little Western flavor. We'll hear Frontier Gentlemen, an episode titled Charlie Meeker. First aired February 9th, 1958, and it's a quick Believe It or Not in an interesting little episode titled Exploding Casket. That one's sure to entertain. We'll finish off with The Adventures of Dick Cole and Murder at Gray's Castle, first aired sometime in 1946. First, here's Frontier Gentlemen.
The great chief of the Sioux Indians is Sitting Bull. He's a rather difficult chap to meet, especially when he's planning for war.
Frontier Gentlemen. Herewith, an Englishman's account of life and death in the West. As a reporter for the London Times, he writes his colorful and unusual accounts. But as a man with a gun, he lives and becomes a part of the violent years in the new territories. Now, starring John Daner, this is the story of J.B. Kendall, Frontier Gentleman.
The distance from South Sunday to Rosebud in Montana Territory is about 30 miles. Due to a heavy rainstorm and my lack of funds, it had taken me a week to reach Rosebud. Luckily, when I arrived, my remittance from England, $250, had already been forwarded, and I was once again solvent. After posting off my weekly report to the London Times, I went to the most likely place in Rosebud to get local color and information. Except for the bartender polishing his glasses and a cat on the bar, the place was quite empty. I ordered a drink.
Two bits.
Thank you.
It's all right. Hush up, cat. Where are you from, mister?
London.
London, England?
That's right.
Well, if that don't beat all, my great-grandpa come from there. Well, hey, Jackson Beeson's the name.
J.B. Kendall.
Well, howdy.
How do you do, sir? Tell me, Mr. Beeson, what's the situation with the Indians these days?
Well, now you come to the right place for that bit of news. Oh, get away, cat. Yes, sir, we're going to have trouble. You can thank your stars that we got General Gibbon here keeping an eye out. I hear tell Custer's on his way, too.
Oh, bad as that, huh?
Worse. Well, just yesterday, correspondence fella, like you, he come in, works on the Montana Telegraph News. Jackson, he says, them Sioux is working up to a boil. Oh, it's going to be wicked. Mighty wicked.
Do you think it'll mean war?
I don't have to think. I know. You cat! Get out of here! Go on, get out! Get out! Darn cat's a regular drunkard.
This correspondent chap, is he still here?
Charlie Meeker? Oh, sure, he's around somewhere.
I'd like to meet him.
Right nice fella. Now, let's see, you might try up to Dolly's place, cross the street there, second house on the right. Can't miss it. Just ask for Charlie. He rooms at Dolly's.
Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm. And look, if he ain't there, I'll tell him you're looking for him when he comes back. You stop by tonight.
Right.
Well, hello, early bird.
Good afternoon, madam. this is Dolly's place?
Why, sure it is. You come on in. Ah. It's nice and warm inside, honey.
I'm looking for a gentleman named Charles Meeker.
Charlie? What do you want with him?
Oh, well, I was told I could find him here. The bartender...
Oh, Jack Beeson sent you.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
All right. Well, step inside. I'm freezing my... Mary! Go wake up Charlie. There's a fella here to see him. I guess you better wait in the parlor. Say, now, I hope you'll forgive the looks of this room. Some of the boys got a little rowdy last night. We haven't cleaned it up yet.
Not at all. Charming.
You're new in Rosebud, ain't you?
Yes.
Well, that's nice. That's real nice. I can see you're a gentleman. Always nice to meet a gentleman. Sit down. Make yourself comfortable. Mr.
Kendall.
Well, Mr. Kendall, you're a friend of Charlie's, huh?
No. No, we've never met.
Well, he's a nice boy. He's real nice. He sure never forgets me. Anytime he's in these parts, he brings old Dolly a present. Can I get you a drink?
No, thanks just the same.
Hey, you ain't a dominie, are you?
Dom?
A preacher?
Oh, no.
Well, I sure do admire to hear you talk. I wish you'd say something else.
There's somebody looking for me, Dolly.
Oh, this here is Mr. Kendall, Charlie boy.
All right.
How do you do, sir?
Well, you got business to talk, so make yourselves at home. It's sure been a pleasure, Mr. Kendall. Maybe you'll call again.
Thank you very much.
You'll have to excuse me, Kendall. I just woke up. Big night. Oh. And a big head. What can I do for you?
I understand you write for a newspaper, Mr. Meeker.
Charlie. Yeah, Virginia City, Montana Telegraph News.
I know. I do some correspondence myself for the London Times.
Hey, I'm proud to meet you.
May I return the compliment? Look here. Is it true what I've been hearing, these rumors about a Sioux uprising?
Yeah, more than rumors. It's coming.
Well, this chief, Sitting Bull, have you ever seen him?
Once, a few years back. Big council between one of our government commissions and the Indians.
Oh, I'd like to meet him. See him, you know?
No, not a chance. Not anymore. A while ago, maybe, but those Indians don't trust the white man now. I tell you, they're getting ready for war.
Is there any way to make contact with him?
Probably. There's plenty of Indian scouts, interpreters hereabouts who could, but for a white man, it'd be worth his scalp.
How would one go about it?
Are you serious?
Completely. Do you know where I could find him?
I got a pretty good idea. You want a drink?
No, thank you.
There's talk of a whole lot of Indians moving off the reservations, going up Tongue River country. Might be headed for Sitting Bull's camp.
How far would that be?
30 miles, maybe. Now, listen, mister. When the Sioux go on the warpath, the best place for you and me is someplace else.
Well, do you think you could find me one of those Indian scouts? Someone to guide me to Sitting Bull's camp?
You mean it, don't you?
Absolutely.
What a story. Interview with Chief Sitting Bull? Oh, it's crazy. They'd kill us, sure. No, Kendall, the best thing for you is to talk to some of the old-timers. They'll tell you about it, and then you can send your report in on that. It's a whole lot safer.
That evening in Beeson's saloon, Charlie Meeker found a half-breed interpreter, Johnny Duchelle. He was a big man, dark, with handsome features, and when he smiled, which he did constantly... There was something at odds in his eyes, veiled, a coldness. He was playing a game of solitaire, and as he dealt his cards, I noticed that inside his sleeve was a wrist holster. Strapped to it, a derringer.
You want to talk with Sitting Bull?
That's right, Johnny.
Him too?
Me too.
Suppose he don't want any talk with you. Suppose he want to take your scalp.
That would be rather awkward.
Johnny, how well do you know the chief?
How well does any man know another?
Charlie says you've done scouting work for General Crook. Well, doesn't that make you Sitting Bull's enemy?
Yesterday I scout for the soldier. Tomorrow maybe I fight with the Indian. Who knows?
Yes. Well, the point would seem to be, whose side are you on if you do guide us?
If I do this thing, you put your trust in me.
I see.
What do you say, Johnny? Can you take us to him?
Black ace on the red two.
Yeah. You got $50, silver?
Kind of high, isn't it?
Sitting Bull won, big chief. You want me take you to Red Cloud, Crazy Horse? Maybe cost less.
What do you think, Ken?
I'm not sure.
Maybe you find somebody, do it for less. He take you to Indian, cut out your heart, huh?
Now, Johnny's all right. 25 apiece would be worth it.
All right. When, Johnny?
Tomorrow.
Fine.
Take no guns.
Hey, wait a minute.
Indians see you with guns, they say you coming for no good. Without guns, in peace. No guns.
It's sort of risky, isn't it, Johnny?
Not with me along with you.
What time?
We meet outside the state station. 6 o'clock.
See you then. Well, you still want to go?
I'm not sure about that fellow.
That's the chance you take these days. We can back out.
No. But to be on the safe side, Charlie, I think 2 guns in shoulder holsters would make me feel a bit better.
Sure. You got them? Never use a gun myself.
Oh, yes, yes, I've got them. Look here, Charlie. Now, this is my idea. No need for you to come along, you know.
What's the matter? You want the story for yourself?
No, not that at all.
I'm sorry.
I only thought that...
Forget it. We'll go together. Hey, how about coming over to Dolly's with me for nightcap?
No, thanks. Not tonight. Sleep for me.
Oh. Well, see you in the morning. We can pick up horses at the livery stable. So long.
I watched him walk away, a rather short, thin man, shoulders a little rounded. And then he was lost in the shadows, and I had that odd sensation of having lived this moment before. It had been in Peshawar, in northern India. I remembered a good friend who had walked away from me in the night. The next morning, his head was thrown through the barracks window.
In a moment, we return to Frontier Gentlemen. Laugh and the world laughs with you. Cry and say, where'd everybody go? Chances are they've taken off in the direction of CBS Radio's Peter and Mary show. Peter Lind Hayes and Mary Healy have a magic way of banishing the blues. Their amusing notions about practically everything, the easy way they sing their songs, and the exciting personalities who visit them all make CBS Radio's Peter and Mary show a cure for the blues. Listen for them on most of these same stations tomorrow. And now we return you to Anthony Ellis's production of Frontier Gentlemen.
The morning was gray, a bit windy. We left Rosebud at 6 o'clock and rode steadily toward the southeast. I could see no sign of a gun on our guide, Johnny Duchelle, but his bulky jacket could have hidden an arsenal. For perhaps over an hour, we didn't speak. Charlie, red-eyed from want of sleep and too much whiskey, nodded in his saddle. The half-breed traveled a little ahead of us, cautious, watchful.
Hey, Kendall.
Yes?
Never drink Dolly's rotgut.
I won't.
I can take the pepper, even the tobacco juice she puts in it, but that whiskey...
You know, we had a cure for your complaint in India.
Oh?
Curry powder, ginger, a snake's head, preferably a cobra, a big spoon of sugar, stew the whole thing in a pot of strong tea and then drink it down. Exactly. It's a miraculous cure. You'd probably end up chucking the whole mess out the window, but you forgot your headache.
What were you doing in India?
Army, mostly.
Officer?
At one time, captain.
See much fighting?
Enough.
Who are you with?
The cavalry regiment.
You don't like to talk about it much, do you?
No, not much.
Hey, better hold up. Johnny's seen something.
In timber. Cayenne, I think. You stay. I talk to them.
How many? Can you see?
5 or 6. Might be others in the woods.
You know something funny? I'm scared.
Think about your headache.
No, thanks. Too close to my hair. You ever see a scalp man?
No. But I shouldn't worry. The tribesmen do much nastier things to get their trophies in India.
Johnny must know them. Look.
All very friendly. Hello. They must have given their blessings.
You think so?
Either that or Johnny's made an arrangement with them to cut our throats. He looks happy enough.
That tall wolf and his brave. They will ride to the council. Tell of our coming.
Glad to hear it.
We go on now.
Johnny smiled, turned away, and we rode on. I had the distinct feeling that he knew exactly what he was doing, and we didn't. Another hour passed. If there were more Indians about, we didn't see them. The terrain was becoming more rugged, and when we reached a narrow stream, Johnny called a halt.
We rest the horses.
All right. Think I'll get myself a drink. Water, that is.
Funny, we haven't seen any more Indians, Johnny.
They all had great counsel.
You seem pretty sure we won't be attacked.
I told Tall Wolf you come in peace.
Possibly there are others beside Tall Wolf who won't feel as he does.
Possibly. We see at the council.
But you're not worried, though.
I am not worried.
You're smiling.
Good for a man to smile.
Depends on his reason.
I smile because you paid me 50 silver dollars to bring you here.
Tell me, Johnny, what will it cost to take us back?
The cost to you will not matter. I think you will not be going back.
He made a slight movement with his hand, and a derringer appeared in it. For a moment, I had forgotten his wrist holster. He was standing no more than 4 feet from me, and I didn't move. If you've ever seen what a 41 derringer can do to a man, you'd understand. Then he brought out a revolver from his jacket and backed away a few steps. That was when I saw Charlie at the stream. He had a rock in his hand, his arm cocked back. At the moment he threw it, the half-breed turned and saw him. Where are you hit, Charlie?
Chest. Boy, that feels worse than Dolly's rock gun.
He's not dead?
No, I'm not dead, you stinking breed.
You, Kendall, take off your jacket. Untie those shoulder holsters. Let them fall to the ground. Move back. Stop. You both got more silver. Give it to me.
I'll spit in your eye first.
I told Tall Wolf I take you to Sitting Bull as my prisoner, alive. He will think well of me, give me place of trust.
Your own mother wouldn't trust you, Johnny.
With much silver, two horses, even a stinking breed will be important man. Give it to me.
You'll find a bag in my jacket.
Good. Now, you both, you walk. I ride behind.
Can you get up, Charlie?
Sure.
Yeah, I'll help you. My fault. I should have done something sooner. I wasn't sure about him.
Walk! Cross the stream. Follow the trail.
Come on. Lean on me.
I can't go on anymore.
He is dead.
Let me put him on a horse.
He called me stinking breed. Let him walk.
He can't. He's done in.
Then you carry him.
Let him rest for a minute.
A minute.
Charlie, can you hear me? Listen to me, Charlie. The trail narrows a few yards along. There's a slope on our left. Do you hear me, Charlie?
Yeah.
I'm going to let you fall. If I can get him to take his eyes off me, there's a knife in my boot.
All right. Good luck.
All right, Charlie. Up you come. Getting close, Charlie. Now, when you fall, keep your head down in case he starts shooting.
What a way to die. I could hit Dolly's right now.
If we get back alive, I'll join you. About 10 more steps, Charlie. Now, Charlie. For a moment, I had a glimpse of Charlie sliding, falling down the hill slope. Then he disappeared into the underbrush. I turned to face Johnny Duchelle, the knife in my hand. Johnny was standing in his stirrups, craning his head to see over the trail's edge. He was no more than 15 feet from me. It must have been the horse shifting its weight to disturb my aim. I threw, and the knife struck high on his shoulder. He half fell from the saddle, and I ran for him. I felt one of the bullets from his gun burn my cheek. Then we were rolling down the hill. Somewhere on the way, he lost the gun, but the knife was stabbing. Cutting at me.
Charlie! It's all right. It's all right, Charlie. He's finished. Something tells me we don't get to see Sitting Bull today.
Better luck next time.
Hey, Kendall. Whiskey's paid for. But I owe Dolly for room and board. It's only...
Charlie? I took Charlie back to Rosebud, to Dolly's place. She had me put the little man on the parlor couch. Then she knelt by his side, took his hand in hers.
Charlie, boy, it's Dolly. This was my place, huh, mister? Like the one I never had. My good, bad boy. Dolly misses you, Charlie, boy. Wake up, son.
Most of Rosebud attended the funeral of Charles Meeker. I sent the story to his own newspaper, as well as to the London Times. And for Charlie, I decided to stay on in Rosebud to have another shot at a meeting with Sitting Bull.
Frontier Gentlemen was written, produced, and directed by Anthony Ellis and stars John Daner as J.B. Kendall. Featured in the cast were Jeanette Nolan, Lawrence Dobkin, Harry Bartell, and Junius Matthews. Music was composed by Jerry Goldsmith and conducted by Wilbur Hatch. Later today, you'll have five more engrossing dramas waiting for you on CBS Radio, starting with Suspense, which today stars Herbert Marshall. You can look forward to plenty of action and plenty of thrills with Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, The FBI in Peace and War, Indictment, and Gunsmoke. for good listening. Keep listening to CBS Radio. Now, stay tuned for the Ford Road Show, which follows immediately over most of these same stations. Join us again next week for another report from the Frontier, gentlemen. Johnny Jacobs speaking. This is the CBS Radio Network.
Truth is stranger than fiction. And this is the proof. This is Ripley's Believe It or Not.
The casket of Queen Elizabeth I, while on view in Whitehall Palace, London, mysteriously exploded. The coffin was shattered, yet the Queen's body was unharmed. Believe it or not. In a moment, I'll tell you about a fantastic pilgrimage. The pilgrims to Mount Kailas in Tibet indulge in the most fantastic pilgrimages in the world. They must circle the 22,000-foot mountain on their stomachs. They complete each circuit in the bitter cold, and this requires 3 weeks. Yet many of the pilgrims circle the mountain in this manner a dozen times, alternately rising and prostrating themselves day and night for 9 months, believe it or not.
Presenting Dick Cole and his thrilling adventures at Far Military Academy.
We'll always be near to Far. We'll praise her wherever we are. We'll cheer her each day with a hip hip hooray. It's a rule, there's no tool like Far. We'll sing out our loyalty. We'll ring out with voices free. As we travel through life, we will follow our star. We'll always be near to Far.
Listen, boys and girls, today we bring you another exciting episode of the adventures of Dick Cole at Far Military Academy. You've known Dick Cole in Blue Bolt Magazine and in Foremost Comics for a long time. And now you meet him every week at this time over this same station on the air. In just a moment, you'll hear from Dick Cole himself. But first, here's a message you'll all want to hear. Here is Dick Cole.
Hello, boys and girls. Well, you know about today's story, there are lots of ways you can find to describe certain unpleasant things. But the best way to describe what those people up at Gray's Castle had on their minds is to use one simple word, murder. Terry Gray and I thought we were safely out of it. We thought no one had seen us creeping through the shrubbery.
Come on, Dick, there's the gate. Let's run for it. I guess there's nobody around.
Nobody around, eh? Put up your hands there, boys. That's right. Now, back into the castle, unless you want this gun of mine to bark.
At And now to get back to the beginning of this story. Simba and I were on our way back from the tennis courts at Far. And, well, you know Simba. He had something up his sleeve, as usual.
You took the set away from me, Dick. But you want to know something?
Even if I didn't want to, I guess I'm going to know it anyway.
Yeah. Well, before we get back to the dorm, I'm going to take your racket away from you.
Oh, you are, eh? By means of some fiendishly clever magic, I suppose, or through the power of that hypnotic eye of yours?
Mm-hmm. Well, something like that.
Simba, my lad, your talents are wasted on the humdrum life we live here at Far.
Oh, I do all right. Hey, Dick, look.
What? Oh, what? I can't see. What's that? Oh, hey, my racket. Simba, I've got to hand it to you. You did it.
Oh, it's nothing. Very, very simple. First, I blind you with my little gadget. And then, while you're being surprised by it all, snitching your racket is like taking candy from a baby.
Yeah, so I see. Now, tell me, what's that gadget hanging on your belt there? Obviously, that's what you blinded me with.
Obviously. As you will notice, it is made up of prism reflectors.
So I see.
Now, the wearer of this gadget, that's me, must always stand directly to the north of his victim. That's you.
Yes, I guess it is.
The wearer stands about 3 feet away from the victim, who must be facing north.
North?
Mm-hmm.
That's right, I was facing north.
Yep. Now, at any time of the day, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., one of the prisms will reflect a glare into the victim's eyes.
You're telling me.
Because the makers of this gadget carefully calculated the correct sundial angles.
Smart, weren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Simba, I'm going to show you a trick.
Oh, yeah? Well, it better be good.
Now, watch my right hand.
Yeah, I'm watching.
See how it resembles a bird floating about in the air, a seagull, perhaps, or a hawk?
Looks more like a flying turtle to me.
Mm-hmm. Now, watch carefully.
Yeah?
Now, down it comes, and while you're foolishly watching it, I take my other hand and switch that trick gadget of yours right from under your nose. Yes, sir.
Hey, Dick, come back with my gadget.
Yeah, try and get it, fella. Just try and get it.
Well, almost time to go to bed. It'll be lights out pretty soon.
Say, you're right. I wasn't watching the clock. I'd better pack now. I won't have much time in the morning.
No, and you better put your best clothes in that suitcase since you're going out in high society.
I'll have to admit, I'm kind of curious about that place Terry Gray's aunt lives in.
Sort of a castle or something, isn't it?
Yes, I've seen pictures of it. And Terry says that's all he's ever seen of it, too. He hardly knows his aunt.
You know, that's a funny thing about some rich people. They're usually not very chummy with their relatives.
Well, of course, Mrs. Gray isn't Terry's real aunt. She's the widow of his uncle.
Uh-huh. And so she's his only living relative?
Well, I guess that's right.
Well, she's probably just as well-heeled as he is. I understand he's worth $5 or $6 million.
It could be.
Poor kid. That's a tough situation. But I've got to admit, it doesn't seem to have gone to his head.
No, Terry's a swell fella. Sometimes I feel sorry for him, though, his mother and father dead.
Yeah.
And no family, but a trust company that handles all that money for him.
Mm-hmm. Every silver lining's got a cloud.
Well, anyway, that castle of his aunt's. I understand it's an exact imitation of some castle in Europe that used to be a robber baron's hangout. It's got towers and dungeons and a moat around it and a high iron-braced wall.
Wish I was going with you. I'd like to see it. Wish Terry was a friend of mine. Oh, we never seem to hit it off for some reason.
Well, that's funny. Say, Simba.
Yeah?
That gadget of yours, the prisms, I've still got it.
Mm-hmm, I know.
Listen, just for the heck of it, let me take it along this weekend, will you?
Want to blind Terry's aunt so you can swipe her diamond necklace, do you?
Well, you know, maybe I could have some fun with it.
Okay, take it. But remember, I expect you to bring it back undamaged.
I will, my friend, I will. Castle is sure an impressive-looking place, Terry.
Yeah, fantastic. Hey, driver, toot the horn so they know we're coming. Now maybe somebody open that wicked-looking gate, a knight in armor, or perhaps a yeoman with a crossbow.
Hey, look, Terry, it's opening.
Nobody's opening. It must be to have a push button up in the castle.
Yeah, it must be.
Say, Dick, I've got something to tell you.
Yeah?
My aunt, I've only seen her 4 or 5 times in my life. Well, she's kind of an odd type, so I didn't tell her that I was bringing you.
You didn't?
No, and I apologized to you for that. I should have told her, but I didn't know what she'd say.
Oh, I don't exactly like you.
I know. It puts you in a kind of spot. But here's the point, Dick.
Yeah?
Well, it's always seemed to me that there must be something creepy about this place and about her. So I'd appreciate it if you'd stick with me, even though she doesn't expect you.
Well...
It'd be a real favor, Dick.
Okay. Oh, look, the door of the castle's opening.
So
Some guy's coming out.
One of the servants, probably. Here's a couple of bucks, driver. Come on, Dick. Let's go.
Yeah, coming.
Master Gray?
Mr. Gray, please. Yeah, that's me.
And this other lad, who is he?
His name is Mr. Cole. My aunt, Mrs. Gray, she's around, I suppose.
She's waiting for you in the blue drawing room. I don't believe she knew another young gentleman would accompany you.
No, well, she will soon. You'll take our bag?
Certainly, sir, naturally. This way.
Is that my nephew, Eric? Well, do bring him in. Bring him in. Terry, dear boy. How good to see you, after all these years.
Very nice to see you, Aunt Sophie. This is my friend, Dick Cole.
What? Oh. How do you do?
How do you do? I invited him to come along with me, Aunt Sophie. We fellas at the Academy don't often get a chance at a weekend like this. I knew Dick would enjoy it, and you wouldn't
yes,
mind.
Yes, how nice. I welcome you, Mr. Cole.
Thank you very much, Mrs. Gray. That's very kind of you.
Eric, take the young gentleman up to the East Tower and see that they're comfortable.
Yes, ma'am. I'll see that they're very comfortable.
Well, boys, I'm glad you enjoyed your dinner. And now I'll say good night.
It sure was a wonderful dinner, Mrs. Gray.
Yeah, it was super.
Well, now you can find the way up to your room in the East Tower. Or do you want Charles to show you?
Charles?
The butler.
But I thought Eric was...
Eric. I call him the parlor maid.
You do. He's the huskiest parlor maid I've ever seen.
Yes, isn't he? Quite a muscular type. Now, shall I ring for Charles?
No, thanks.
I think we can find our way all right, Mrs. Gray.
Well, then, good night again.
Good night.
Good night, Aunt Sophie.
Dick, do you see now why this place gives me the creeps? I sure do. You're in. I don't want to be rude.
Why?
Anything you say is all right. She's only my uncle's widow, you know. And I can still remember that my father and mother never exactly took to her. She seems pleasant enough, but somehow I get the feeling that she doesn't really mean it.
Yeah, me too.
It's like she's got something not exactly cozy up her sleeve.
Could be.
Well, you and I, maybe we're just imagining things.
Maybe so.
I just kind of wish I could be sure, that's all.
I tell you what, Terry. After we get our pajamas on, let's scout around a little and see what we can find out. By that time, they ought to have turned out most of the lights.
That's a good idea, Dick. A swell idea. Maybe we can solve the mystery of this creepy place.
Terry, you take those stairs and I'll take these, okay?
All right. Be seeing you, Dick. And watch it.
Yeah, I will. And you, too.
Don't worry. So long, Dick. Good luck.
Yes, I know it's too bad for the other boys here.
I tell you, I haven't planned on that other boy coming.
I haven't planned, but he's here.
The voices. Sounds like Mrs. Gray's and one of the servants. It's a good thing it's dark in the hall here. I'd get closer without being seen.
Yes, Charles. I wish he hadn't brought the other boy with him. But in any case, it can't change our plan.
You mean both of them?
Of course it's got to be. You and Eric will take the mountain climbing tomorrow, and we'll both have to fall off the cliff. By accident, of course.
Well, in that case, it's double the price we agreed on.
Charles.
Now look, according to the will Terry's grandfather made, if Terry should die, his entire fortune goes to his nearest relative, and that is you.
I haven't.
I know, you haven't any money now, but you will have something like $5 million. Out of that, $100,000 for Eric and me each. Chicken feed.
You drive a hard bargain.
Hard bargain, eh? That's rich. With all the money you're going to have?
It'll really be my money.
Not till we get rid of those two lads. And they're nice lads. I like them. Yes, my conscience is going to bother me terribly sending him to Kingdom Come.
Your conscience.
That's what I said. The only thing that could rest my conscience is $100,000. So say yes now or my price will still go up.
All right, Charles. I say yes. With money safely in my hands and everything else that's gone off.
Dick! Dick
Hayes!
Here I am. You found out anything?
Yes, I found out everything. Come on back to our room and I'll tell you.
Gee, Dick, I never saw you look that way before. You're white as if you were scared.
Come on, Terry, back to our room. We've got to make plans. And about the way I look, maybe I am just a little scared. You all dressed up, Terry?
Yeah. And the quicker we get out of this place now that I know Aunt Sophie's little plan, the better I'll like it.
Me too. Now let's rip those sheets off the bed.
Oh, both of you. It's a big drop out of this window, Dick. Looks like 50 or 60 feet. Think we can make it with these sheets?
Sure, sure, but we'll have to tear them in.
Okay. You know, kid, I wasn't so dumb when I suspected I might need help on this little weekend.
Maybe yes and maybe no. All right, now let's tie these ends together. Where's the sheets? The rope we're making, it's got to be long enough. It's got to be strong enough.
That's right, or Charles and Eric won't have to do that little job of theirs, and they'd be out 200 grand.
Yeah. There. Uh-huh. Give me the other end. That's it. Twist it and tie it.
Yes, sir.
Now, there we are. It's a nice-looking rope to let ourselves down from the window with. Saves us the trouble of walking out the front door.
You said it. Now we'll push that bed behind the dresser so it'll be firm enough to tie the rope to.
It's a good idea. Come on, let's push. Watch it. Hey, Dick, listen. That's something you heard. Somebody's come.
Yeah, well, if that's true, our goose is cooked. But good.
In just a moment, we'll go back to our story. But first, here's a brief message for all you Dick Cole fans. Back to our story. Dick Cole and Terry Gray, preparing to escape from the castle by means of a rope they have fashioned out of bed sheets, suddenly hear footsteps outside their door.
Shh. Quiet. Maybe they'll pass on by.
A false alarm, I guess, Dick. Let's tie up that rope and get out of here.
I'm tying it. Now, out the window it goes. There. Say, Terry, look. The end is only about 6 feet above the ground.
Yeah, good.
Okay, now you go first.
Oh, no.
Now, listen, you're the one they're really after, so hurry up.
All right, boss man. Okay. Wish me luck. Here goes. So long, kid. You join me as soon as I reach the ground.
Yeah, I will. Hey, he made it. And the sheets still look tough enough to hold me.
Well, Cole, here goes. We made it. We made it.
And the coast is clear. Come on, let's make for the gate. Maybe we can slide under it.
Yeah. Dick, there's the gate ahead of us, and we're okay. Nobody's seen us. Nobody.
Nobody, eh? Put up your hands there, boys, unless you want this gun to start barking.
Eric!
Yes, it's me. Now march along, both of you. I'm sure Mrs. Gray won't like it having her guests try to sneak off like this. Here they are, Mrs. Gray, the two boys. I caught them trying to sneak out the gate.
Why, Eric, what... Don't you like it here?
You tell her, Dick. Explain why we don't like it here.
Yeah, you can't get away with this, you know, Mrs. Gray. Everybody at Bar Academy knows where we are, and the taxi driver who brought us up here.
What on earth are you talking about?
I'm talking about a certain conversation between you and Charles that I happened to overhear. Something about climbing a mountain and about Terry and me having an accidental fall. Something about $100,000 apiece for Eric and Charles and $5 million or so for you.
Goodness, what on earth do they teach you boys at Bar Academy? Where do you get such fantastic ideas?
It won't work, Mrs. Gray. There'll be a big investigation. Major Farr will see to that. They'll find you out.
Nettie, why did you ever bring this strange boy up here to visit? Is he quite right in his mind?
He's the sanest guy I know. Listen, Aunt Sophie, you let us out of here. Let us go and I'll forget the whole thing. Dick and I'll promise never to say a word.
Oh, dear. I'd always thought Farr Academy was such a good school. Instead of that, it's turned both of you boys into something next door to madmen.
I'm warning you, Mrs. Gray.
Take, them both up to their room. Bar the window. You know how. And lock the door. It's quite evident they're not responsible for their actions. Something's terribly wrong.
Yeah, and that's no lie.
Go along with Eric, boys. He's such a mean man with a gun. And I do so hate the sound of a shot. It's hard on my nerves.
Dick? Yeah, come on, we'll go for now.
That's right, of course you'll go. It's only sensible. Good night, boy.
Good night, dear Aunt Sophie.
And pleasant dreams. I want you both to enjoy that mountain climb tomorrow.
Gee, Dick, look, it's morning at last. The sun, it's coming through the window.
Yeah, good old sun.
You know, I haven't slept a wink. Somehow it's not very conducive to sound sleeping to know this is your last night on Earth.
Yeah, I get what you mean.
I've been thinking and thinking, and I finally come up with an idea.
Okay, let's hear it.
It's not a very good idea.
Let me be the judge of that.
Well, it looks to me as if the only thing we can do is ruin Aunt Sophie's plan.
No, you're getting somewhere. All right, give. How do we ruin her plan?
Well, we've got no chance to get away, not a prayer. We may as well face that.
Mm-hmm.
So, instead of climbing the mountain with Eric and Charles, we make them shoot us here. Then they can't say it's an accident. They're counting on saying it was. That'll foil them, see?
Yes, I see.
Dick, I told you
it wasn't a very good idea. Well, you're right. I don't like it, not one little bit.
But, Dick...
Look, Terry, I want to stay alive, and so do you. Let's start with that.
Okay, start ahead.
So I say when our pals, Eric and Charles, start to take us up the mountain, let's just go along quietly like good boys.
To our death?
Maybe, and maybe not. There may be a chance for us to pull something before we get up there.
You think so?
Frankly, I don't know. But if we follow your plan, we throw away every chance we have to live right at the start.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas if we go along with them... Maybe we can make something happen.
You got any ideas?
At least a dozen of them.
Say, Dick, that's swell.
I hope so. Now, listen. I'm going to tell you my ideas. And I'll number the ideas. And when I shout out a certain number, that means, okay, let's get going. We'll try out that idea. Do you understand?
Yeah, I get it. If you yell six, for instance, we'll go right into the routine of plan number six.
That's right. Now, let me start explaining, because we haven't got too much time.
I know.
A fine day for climbing this mountain, eh, Charles?
Ah, superb, superb.
You boys enjoying yourselves?
Yeah, that's right. We're having a simply wonderful time.
I suppose you're a bit tired. Ah, there's that path going off to the right. It goes back down the mountain to the other side.
Nice path.
Oh, it's for amateur mountain climbers, I've always thought, not for real sportsmen.
Yeah, that's what I like about it.
Well, don't get any foolish ideas about sneaking off down that path. The gun I've got in my pocket, it's such a nasty kind of thing.
Yeah, I imagine.
Now, Dick, now, how about plan number five?
No, Terry, not yet, not now.
Secrets, boys? Come, tell us. What were you whispering about?
Oh, I don't think you'd be interested.
The young like to have their secrets, you know, Eric. We mustn't begrudge them that.
Why, Charles, of course not. What sort of a brute do you think I am?
In my opinion, you're a gorilla.
Oh, you're flattering, Terry. He's the lowest form that life comes in. An amoeba, I think they call it. He's like something you scrape off a rock.
Ah, we have an authority on science in our midst.
Yes, yes, indeed. I've always said a good education is an excellent thing.
So it is, Eric. Ah, too bad. A time comes in a person's life when even the finest education is no help at all.
You mean, for instance, when a person faces death?
That's exactly what I mean, Eric. What a smart fellow you are.
Death.
An accident. A fall from the top of a mountain.
Sad.
Oh, no. Tragic.
But unpreventable.
Yes, it had to happen. Nothing could stop it.
snap of our journey.
Dick, do you suppose this is it? I could just cut the rope and then...
Yeah, I know. But that ravine below, it isn't quite deep enough. They couldn't be sure.
Then what?
The other side of the mountaintop, I think. A deeper ravine. It'll be coming soon.
And those plans of yours, none of them...
We haven't had a chance. There's just one plan that could still work. Number 7. Remember? Number 7?
Yeah, I remember now.
Come along there, boys. No loitering. Up the cliff with you. We wouldn't want you to fall.
Oh, heavens no, Charles. What a perfectly dreadful idea.
Well, here we are. At the top of the mountain.
Yeah, the very top.
Yes, the very, very top.
Isn't it a lovely view?
Yes, it's simply divine.
You know, I thought you'd feel that way about it. I rather fancied you were the sort of lad who appreciates the finer things in life.
Now, Charles, that's strange. It seemed to me young Master Terry, he was the one who really valued such things most.
Well, now...
Come to the other side of the mountaintop, Master Terry. I want to show you the view.
Yes, yes, and so do I.
I'd rather stay here.
Now, now... We'd like not to be rough with you.
Come along, kid, and make it quick.
Dick! You go along, Terry. I'm coming, too.
Well, naturally, we planned on that.
Of course. And now that we're all agreed, let's go.
You know, I have rather a strange feeling, Charles.
So do I, Eric.
Yes. These two young lads, fine, upstanding fellows.
Splendid examples of American youth.
I sort of dislike what we're doing. Don't you?
Oh, heartily. Most heartily.
Then suppose you tell us.
Yes, it's a good idea. Listen to me, lads. We bear no grudge against you. We like you both. We want you to know...
That you're going to call the whole thing off?
That we sincerely regret what we are about to do.
Yeah, then why do you do it?
Purely a business arrangement, Master Cole. Purely business.
I feel sure you will understand that.
But I don't.
No? Well, I had hoped you would. And now, here we are, on the other side of the mountain. Isn't it a remarkable view?
Sublime. And that ravine. It must be almost a mile deep.
It's terrifying. All right now, Master Terry, come along with us.
Come along.
No, I won't.
Please don't make this any more difficult for us, any more painful. Grab the other arm, Eric.
Yes. Now, come along.
Dick!
He can't help you. Just face the music.
Come on, Eric.
Take it like a man.
Terry, number 7.
Yeah, get closer, yeah.
Hey, what's this? You trying to interfere, Paul?
That's right. But look here, Eric.
I can't see him. I'm blind.
Hey, Charles.
Get my gun. Quick, Charles. Your gun. Don't let it.
Awfully sorry I had to shoot you, Charles, and shoot your hand. I hope it isn't too seriously damaged, but then you see, I had no other choice.
My hand is bleeding, my arm.
Dick, you saved us just in time.
Yes, I guess that's right, Terry.
Please be good, lads. Don't shoot us. We were just obeying our orders, that's all.
Yeah, well, there's been too much of that in the world these days. Obeying a maniac's orders, no matter what they were.
Mrs. Gray, a maniac?
Mighty close to it, I figure.
Don't shoot us.
Don't worry, I won't. On one condition.
Anything you say.
I've got a paper and pencil with me. I want you two to write and sign a confession. The whole truth, all of it. I want to see all three of you behind the bars.
Yeah, me too.
Is it agreed?
Yes, yes. Give us the paper and pencil.
I'm keeping this gun trained on you, too. Terry, you take the paper and pencil out of my pocket.
Yeah. Here they are.
Thank you. I'll tell all the truth.
You'd better.
Gee, Dick, I don't know how to thank you.
Oh, don't thank me. Thank Simba.
Simba?
That's right. I'm thankful he's nuts about gadgets. These prisms I blinded Eric with, they're Simba's.
Yeah. Well, Simba, he's a friend of mine for life.
Boys and girls, Dick Cole will be back with you again in just a moment. But first, here's a message you'll want to hear. Thank you. Now, Dick Cole fans, be sure to listen in again next week, same time, same station, for another thrilling half hour with Dick Cole at Far Military Academy. Yes, plan to meet Dick Cole every week on the air and enjoy his exciting radio adventures as you enjoy his life at Far in those two favorite magazines, Blue Bolt and Foremost Comics. And now, here's Dick again.
Hiya, folks. I just want to remind you to listen in again next week. Don't forget, it's a date.
It's the Relic Radio Show for today, but the old-time radio continues every day, as we remind you every week at RelicRadio.com. We'll have a new episode of Case Closed up tomorrow and another horror replay, all of which you can find at RelicRadio.com, along with links to our forum, our Shoutcast stream, and everything else. Thanks for joining me today. I'll be back next Tuesday with a brand new episode of the Relic Radio Show.